Our text for this morning is a verse of just three words. It's the verse 17. Paul says, pray. Without ceasing. When the apostle declared those words, he did not mean that believers should always be upon their knees. The Christian cannot always be vocally calling upon God, because that would interfere with other aspects of Christian worship. It would just be impractical, for no matter how willing a spiritual man might be to spend much time in prayer and engage in such an exercise, it really could not be accomplished. The body needs its sleep and rest, its food and drink, and time must be given to business and to labor. Yes, there are such things as mental prayer, praying in the heart, like Hannah. That's how Hannah prayed, because Eli, seeing Hannah's lips move and yet no words could be heard, he thought that Hannah had been given too much drink. But we read in 1 Samuel, in chapter 1 and verse 12, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And so it is possible, of course, for us to go about our daily business and, like Hannah, be praying in the heart. There is, of course, the offering up of prayer, as it were, in the spare of the moment, as it was with Nehemiah. Nehemiah had been told about the state of the city of Jerusalem after the Babylonians had taken the people into captivity and destroyed much of the city. And when Nehemiah heard it, he was heartbroken. I believed that what he should do was to go to Jerusalem and see what could be done there. And of course, Nehemiah went and was involved in building again the walls of the city. But before he could go, he had to go before the king and seek permission to leave the palace of Shushan and go to Jerusalem. And so he comes before the king Artaxerxes. And we read, then the king said unto me, that is unto Nehemiah, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. There he is standing before the king. He cannot leave the presence of the king and go to the house of God and fall down on his knees and pray, or even go to his own private closet. So he prays to the God of heaven as he stands before the king. He evidently, like Hannah, had prayed in his heart. But he just prayed there and then that the Lord would give him help in answering the king. So to pray without ceasing. This is what Paul called upon the believers to do. What was it that he really meant? If we cannot, and it is impossible to pray 24/7, what did Paul mean when he said, pray without ceasing? I want to look at those words, and we'll need to break them up in two messages. What we want to do this morning is, first of all, to consider the exhortation to pray. For that's what we have here, an exhortation. Believe it or not, there are those who really do not believe in prayer. There are those who do not see any benefit in seeking the face of God in prayer. We are told that by Job. For in Job chapter 21, there we read verse 14, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Verse 15. Those who do not want of anything to do with God, they say, what is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? There you are. There are those who feel that there is no profit whatsoever. There's nothing to be gained by seeking the face of the Almighty in prayer. But here, Paul is one who believed in prayer, exhorts the believers at Thessalonica to pray without ceasing. First of all, we have here, regarding this exhortation, a sincere exhortation. Here in the spirit of sincerity, Paul was exhorting the church to pray. Something wrong if a church doesn't pray. Something wrong if a church doesn't have regular prayer meetings. Because people don't pray. It is good to be recognized as a praying church. And Paul here calls upon the church to pray without ceasing. Here is a sincere exhortation. Indeed, the word exhort, Paul uses that a number of times in this first epistle. Chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 14. And again in chapter 5 and verse 11, he uses the word comfort. The word comfort may be translated exhort. So all in all, Paul uses the word exhort 5 times. 5 being the number of grace. Paul calls upon the people, according to the grace of God, that they should pray without ceasing. The word exhort that Paul uses is a word that means to call to one side, to bring someone to your side. The Holy Spirit is the blessed paraclete. That's what it means to call to your side. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, comes to our side in our times of need and distress. And here Paul, he exhorted the believers. In other words, he was calling them to his side. The way someone would speak as a friend with a friend. And he calls the believers, as it were, to his side, and in this loving entreaty, this sincere entreaty, he calls upon the believers to pray. To pray without ceasing. Now we know from chapter 2 and verse 11 how lovingly Paul exhorted the believers in their Christian duties. For chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." Paul was the spiritual father of many in the church of Thessalonica. Under his ministry, he had led many to Christ. And he says, "I exhort you and I comfort you and I charge you," the way a father would his son. Could anything be more sincere than the word of exhortation that comes from a father to a son? And here he is sincere about the matter of prayer. That's what he's about. He's sincere. And he wants the believers to be sincere as well about prayer. Yes, it is a duty. It's a Christian duty. It's what believers ought to do, pray. But he wanted the believers to go beyond the sense of duty and to be sincere about prayer. In other words, to want to pray. And so he says, pray, but I want you to pray without ceasing. And we'll see shortly what he meant. So we have a sincere exhortation. We also have here a simple exhortation. A simple exhortation. If we just take the first word of the verse, pray. Could any other spiritual exercise be any more simple than this? Pray. A child can pray. No one needs to have a theological degree to be able to pray, or needs a university degree to be able to pray. The poor can pray, a pauper can pray, a prince can pray, a president can pray, a prince can pray, any man can pray. It's simple. And here's a simple exhortation. But what is it to pray? We're familiar with the word. What does it mean? The Lord Jesus gives us the explanation. Gives us the definition for prayer. For the Lord said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." There's the definition for prayer. You ask. It's simple, isn't it? And then the Lord goes on to say, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14, verses 13 and 14. He then explains prayer in a fuller way over in Luke chapter 11. For in Luke chapter 11 and verse 9, Lord says, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Once again, the exercise of prayer is simple. Ask, seek, knock. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? The answer is no. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? The answer is no. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? The answer is no. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Do you know many times the Lord used the word ask in those few verses? 6 times. No less than 6 times when he's dealing with the matter of prayer, the Lord says, ask, ask, ask. That's what prayer is. And the Lord is telling us that he will give us what we ask for, if it is, of course, in accordance with his will. If a child asks his father for bread, the father will not give him a stone. If he asks for fish, the father will not give him a serpent. If he asks for an egg, the father will not give him a scorpion. You see what the Lord is doing? The Lord is encouraging his people to pray. He's encouraging his people to ask. Why are we so slow to ask? Why are we so reluctant to pray? First John 5, verse 15. We're told that when we pray, the Lord will grant us the petitions we desire of him. So why are we reluctant to give ourselves to prayer? As Christians, we are on asking terms with God. Remember what the Savior said, Luke 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that, there's it again, ask. We willingly give our children those things that they desire if we believe that it's good for them. And if the Heavenly Father hears our cry and we come to him and ask, he will be much more willing and ready to give to us the things that we ask for than we are to give to our children. Child is on asking terms with its father, and we are on asking terms with God. We're on speaking terms with the Lord. Whatever our need may be, we can bring that matter to the Lord and pray, yea, ask. say, well, I can't pray. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. With groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit will help us to pray. I remember not long after I was saved and started attending the prayer meeting, and I would hear people all around praying, and I knew I would have to start praying publicly. And I remember that night, that Wednesday night in the church, my heart was really pounding as I prayed for the first time in public. The Holy Spirit gave help. And the Holy Spirit will help us all to pray. And Paul says, I want you to pray without ceasing. So we have a sincere exhortation and a simple exhortation. We have the subjects of the exhortation. Paul said, pray without ceasing, but what was the church to pray for? Had he anything in mind as far as this church was concerned? In the two epistles that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, Paul mentions prayer 6 times. 4 times in the first epistle and 2 in the other. And when we consider those references to prayer, we are given direction what we should pray for. What he had in mind when he said, pray without ceasing. 3 of the references to prayer had to do, first of all, with the assembly. That is, with the church at Thessalonica. And the person praying for the assembly at Thessalonica was Paul himself. He was praying for the church. First Thessalonians 1. And there in the opening verses, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Praying for the church. He goes on to say, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love and patience of hope, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. So he's praying for the spiritual welfare and the spiritual being of the church in Thessalonica. He's praying for them as they engage in their work of faith and their labor of love and their patience of hope. So we can see what he was praying for. First Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. Paul says, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. He not only wanted to see their faces, but he wanted to minister unto them with reference to those things which he said is lacking in your faith. Once again, he's praying for the church. Then 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. So we see what we are to pray for. Like Paul, we're to pray for the church. And when we look at these references relating to Paul's prayer life, we see that regarding the assembly, the church, he was praying for their spiritual work, for their spiritual walk, and their spiritual welfare. Is this not a guide for us as to how we ought to pray? We need to pray for the work of the Lord here. We need to pray for the spiritual walk of the church and of the believers in the church. And we need to pray about the spiritual welfare. That's how Paul prayed. Remember that woman who I told you about a few weeks ago upon our return from Ulster, who in the Martyrs' Church made it a point to come over to us before we left. She came over to us and she said, I want you to know that I will be praying for you every day. I will be praying for you and your church there in Port Hope every day. She will be praying without ceasing. She'll not give up one day without praying for the work here. How we need to pray like that woman prays. Has never been to Port Hope. Reminds us of how Paul prayed. We just quoted his words there in chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul said, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Night and day. Every night, every day, Paul says, I pray for you. That woman, that dear sister said, every day, I pray for you. Do we pray every day for the work, the welfare of the assembly here? We notice that Paul also not only prayed for the assembly, he referred in his prayers to himself, the apostle. On two occasions, the apostle requested prayer for himself. Chapter 5, verse 25, he says, brethren, pray for us. He asked for prayer. Second epistle of the Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Now, here he comes to the close of his second letter. He has some final words to say. As we have often mentioned before, final words are often lasting words. We remember the final words of an individual. Paul says, finally, these are among my final words, brethren. Pray for us. What did he ask them to pray about? Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. In other words, Paul says, pray for me as I preach the word. And every preacher of the word of God, every true minister of the gospel, covets the prayers of God's people. You have no idea how encouraging it is to be in a prayer meeting and to hear the believers in that prayer meeting ask God to bless the preacher as he preaches the word. See, as Spurgeon said to his congregation at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, he said, I covet not your silver and your gold, but I covet your prayers. And Spurgeon, while he preached, had 500 men in the prayer room in his church praying for him as he preached. Is it any wonder Spurgeon had the success he had? He preached to 5,000 at every service, 5,000. And sometimes throughout the year, he would tell his own congregation to stay at home or worship somewhere else for that day to allow others to come into the church. And the church will be filled again. No wonder Paul said, pray for us. Spurgeon had people who prayed for him. Every preacher needs the prayers of God's people. Paul says, pray without ceasing. And not only did he ask the church at Thessalonica to pray for him, but we read there this morning in Romans 15, Paul said in verse 30, Romans 15, now I beseech you. So we can see from those words how earnest and sincere Paul is. He's, in other words, pleading with the believers. He's pleading with them. I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. So Paul is saying, not so much for my sake, but for the sake of Christ, I beseech you. And for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. You strive. The word strive there refers to someone who's engaged in a strenuous effort. You have to put a lot into it. If you're engaged in some strenuous effort, that's the word Paul uses here. Strive with me. Put some effort into it, that you strive together with me. And you think again of those words that Paul is saying. He says, strive together with me. In other words, he's saying you may not be able to stand beside me in the pulpit. But my, he says, you can stand beside me in prayer. We may not be able to go to Kenya to be a missionary, or to Spain, or to Cameroon. But we can stand beside our missionaries in prayer. Strive together with me. Paul says, brethren, pray for me. I beseech you. Pray for me. For 2 Corinthians. And here in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 1, he makes the same request. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. What did he say? Helping together by prayer for us. You're helping me. Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 19. Philippians 1, verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation, his deliverance, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Colossians 4, verse 2, Paul says, continue in prayer. In other words, pray without ceasing. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Pray for me as I preach the word. Pray that I'll speak as I ought to speak. Am I, when someone like the Apostle Paul calls for prayer, where do lesser mortals like myself come in? How we need the prayers of the people of God. Paul was beseeching the believers to pray for him. Again in Philemon chapter 20 or verse 22, but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Thessalonians, Romans, Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, and then Philemon. Each time he calls upon the believers to pray for him. And here again he pleads with the saints, brethren, pray for us. Pray without ceasing. Now we know, now we have an idea what Paul wanted the church at Thessalonica to pray without ceasing for. For the assembly, for the apostle, for the people. Leads us now, and I can only give you the next point, have the exhortation to prayer. There is also here an extension to prayer, because Paul says, pray without ceasing. So we're not talking here about saying a little prayer. This is going on in prayer. Praying without ceasing. He's dealing here with continuous prayer. When the Lord has laid a matter upon our hearts, we are to continue to pray about that matter. Paul says, pray about that matter without ceasing. That's what he's saying. If we go back to what the Lord said about prayer in Luke 11, he's simply saying to us, keep on asking. Don't give up praying. But you asked. You asked yesterday, we'll ask today. You asked today, you'll ask tomorrow. You prayed yesterday, you prayed today, then you pray again tomorrow. I'll finish with this reference, Luke 11. In Luke chapter 11, again, disciples, have you recall, have come to the Lord and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then the Lord gave them an example. Luke 11, verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go on to him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. You have the picture. Family's in bed, it's a late hour. A knock comes to the door. And from without, a man shouts up and says, I have a friend of mine who's come on an unexpected visit, but I have no bread in the house. Could you give me some bread? And the man from within says, no, well, I'm not getting up. I'm in bed. I'm not going out to you this time of the night. But what happens? The man outside keeps on knocking. And he keeps on knocking. And he keeps on knocking. Until the man inside the house is forced to get up. He wants to get a night's sleep. So he has to get up, give his friend the bread, and come in and go to bed again. Because of his importunity. The word importunity means barefacedness. If that happened to us, we would be telling others, well, I had a person came to the house last night and wanted some bread, and they hammered and hammered on the door. They have a face on them for anything. That's not what we'd say. the barefacedness of that man, that neighbor of mine, and he came and he hammered on the door until I had to get up. What the Lord is saying when we come to prayer, we need some barefacedness. If we prayed a dozen times, we need to pray a dozen times more. And we need to pray without ceasing until the door opens. Now what the Lord said, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will open. We want the Lord to open doors. We want the Lord to open windows of heaven. Praying and not give up. Pray without ceasing. And we'll look at the second part of the message next week. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we bless thee for the avenue, the vehicle of prayer that puts us in touch with heaven, which brings us into communion with God, which enables us to bring before the only one at times who can help us. We can bring before him all our needs, knowing that God answers prayer, and if we keep knocking, he'll open the door. If we keep asking, he will reply. If we keep seeking, he will enable us to find. Oh Lord, help us to take these words to heart. And souls that we've been praying for, it's as if they're no nearer the kingdom of heaven than when we first raised our voices in prayer for them. Have us, Lord, to pray without ceasing. Just to keep at it. Keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking. Pray without ceasing. Write this word upon our hearts. Lord, be with us throughout this day. Return us in thy will to the place of worship this night to learn more about thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.